Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
We cannot use that money to for masjid or but I also heard that we can give that money to the needy people without the intention of getting sawab. Is that correct?
That is not correct. The riba, pay attention to this. The riba, you cannot own it. In order to give something, you must own. This is a rule. I cannot give someone something that I do not own. Let's say now, I go outside the street and I see there is some fruits on his tree hanging. I don't own those. Then I go and pick them up and take them to a poor guy living somewhere who needs them. That's illegal. That's wrong. Now, it's not only I don't take the thawab, I will take a sin. It's a sin because I use something which I do not own. Although the intention is good, I want to feed someone, but it's not my ownership. I don't own the food. So I cannot go to a store and take some food and then go and give it to someone because he needs it. Because in order for a transaction to be valid, you must have legal ownership. Now, a riba, which is the amount of money on top of your money, which you have not earned through work or labor or trade, but you earned it through riba, you do not own it. You don't have the ownership. You possess it. Possess means you have access to it. It's in your hand. You can write a check. That's possession. Ownership means you have legal, valid ownership to that. Now, and that should not sound too strange. Even in the country of capitalism, there is a distinction between ownership and possession. You can possess something by theft, or by gambling, or in some places through prostitution where it's illegal, people can possess. But that money, once the government finds that this is how you earn that money, you will be liable for it, for taking it this way, and you would be liable even if you dispose of it, even if you spend it, even for good intention. You will say, oh, I stole something from Kmart, but I gave it as a charity to a charity organization. Big deal. That will not relieve you from the punishment. Correct. Now in Islam, the same thing. In Islam, someone can steal. You steal something, or you find something without protection, like in a farm or something. You go and collect some fruits. You go into a store. You steal something, or you do gambling, which is haram. Or you sell alcohol, which is haram, or you sell pork, which is haram, or you do riba, which is haram. At the end of the day, you have money. This money is illegal. The only entity that can take this money and dispose it in any way it wants is the state. Is the state which is responsible for resolving the money which has been earned in illegal manners. Only the state, not the United States or the Pakistani or Jordanian states. It's the Islamic State. It's the Islamic State. The Imam, he is the, because the Imam has a right to that becomes like confiscation. He confiscates the money. Now, in the non-Islamic, currently, what do we do with these money which are earned illegally? I cannot use them, I will leave them where they are. I would leave them where, as I mentioned, if it's a bank, by mistake, I put my, let's say, money in a checking account, and then at the end of the day, they come and say, well, Abu Talha, your money has earned some interest. Then I say, I told you I don't need interest on my account. Don't put it in an interest-getting account. Say, well, there was a mistake. Okay, there was a mistake. What's my money? My principal, my money which I put it there is $10,000. That's the only money which I can use. Anything beyond that, I will leave it. I will not touch it. And in fact, I will not authorize the bank to use it. They will. It will just stay there. It's not my money. So I have to understand deeply, it is not mine. It's not mine. I do not own it. So now I would say, I cannot go and say, well, you know what? Write a check for me, separate check for these $500, which are the interest. And then I'll take this check, go to the masjid, and tell them, please give those to a charity because those have come through interest. That is wrong in two ways. Number one, I do not own that money, so I don't have the right to transaction. Number two, the money supposedly a sadaqah, and the sadaqah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I don't accept it. Allah, now, remember the sadaqah is given to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from Allah Azza wa Jalla to the people. That's what the essence of the sadaqah. That's why Allah says, the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبْ. Allah is طَيِّبْ, is good, is pure, does not accept anything else. Just like, let's say, if you bring some money to me and say, oh, brother Abu Talha, I have this $100, I want to give it to you. Then may I ask, how did you get it? We say, well, you know what? I found a wallet somewhere in our job. Somebody dropped a wallet and has some money, $1,000, and I thought I would distribute them. So this is $100 for you. Should I accept it? I should not. I should not accept it. Now, it's wrong for you to do it. It's wrong for me to accept it. Why is it wrong for me to accept it? Because Allah says, I do not accept anything but tayyib. Tayyib means halal. At the end of the day, halal means good. So I should not accept it. So if I should not accept it. You should not give it. So the money which is riba is illegal money. It's like in this country, it's like a drug money. Think of it like a drug, because that's the taboo. Drug is, say you have $10,000 out of drug. To them it's, because alcohol can be legalized, prostitution can be legalized, gambling is legalized, but until now drug is not. So that's the most striking example. Think of it, you have $10,000 worth of money coming out of drugs. And you are caught to give part of that money to a poor. The poor would go to jail, and you would go to jail. If the poor knows that this is drug money and he accepts it, although he's absolutely hungry, he goes to jail and you go to jail in this country. I'm talking about how to understand this issue, because they will tell you this drug money is illegal. It doesn't matter how it came to your pocket, it's illegal. Sometimes if you are a taxi driver, and somebody left a bag of money in your car, and then somehow you came to know that this guy who left the bag of money or the case, drug dealer. Now, if you make anything with that money, it's illegal. The only thing that you can do is to report it to the police. The only thing. You can take it home, you cannot carry it, you cannot give it back to its owner. You cannot give it to charity, you can do nothing. The only thing, you report it to the security, to the authorities, tell them this is the money, you deal with it. That's the issue. So riba, think of riba, although in reality riba is much worse. I'm just giving this example so that we understand. Riba is haram by all categories. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith says, the lowest resemblance of riba, which means he's saying, if I want to tell you how serious the riba is, think of someone, a person who is having an illegal sexual behavior with his mother, near the Kaaba. Think he wanted the people to understand the sequence of it. He says, think of it this way. Of course, it could be much worse, but that's the least. He says, the least I can tell you, that is what riba is. Okay. Sorry for the long answer. Yeah. But that should be, I mean, the fatwas that come usually are not based on shari'i dalil. They are based on logic. Logic, oh, you know what, it's money, what do we do with this money? Why should I keep it to the bank? Why should I keep it to someone else? It's not your money anyway, that's how I think of it.
Moving to a different topic, financial stocks and 401k, if you can just elaborate, or if it's a halal company, can you buy stocks on it? And
okay, I'll get back once. Let's finish with the riba issue, and then we'll come back.
Then riba, same question, if you don't mind. Sometimes companies, you know, if you work for a big company, they'll have pension or something, and you know it's completely interest-based, and they'll give that to you and put it in your bank account. Same concept applies, you leave it with the bank, don't use it.
See, to stick with the riba, because there are other issues which are haram also, but and some of them are halal, let's say, the company takes your money and invests it and puts it in a saving account on your behalf. They say, take your money.
If it's not my money, company is doing it on their own. It still is haram, right? Yeah, I'm just saying, sometimes company don't...
No, there
is part of the benefit.
No, there are two issues. One, it's your money. They take your money and they put it in different investments. One of them is a saving and they get the riba.
Yeah.
That's not your money. The riba is not your money. You cannot take it. You will take only your principal, whatever they took from you. At the time when you leave the work, you take your money back.
Practically, They give you the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I cannot go to the company and say, oh, no, okay, give me $100,000 that my principal. The company doesn't work that way, right? So they'll give me whatever the 100 plus interest is, right? As an example. So what do I mean, in that case, do I leave it with the bank or what do I do with that money?
You right? Leave that extra money with the bank.
Yeah.
Anything extra besides the, anything that's riba, that came to your account, you leave it in that account. You don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's not yours. Yeah. Now, of course, if it's voluntarily, which is the, you know, that you contribute, you should not contribute to something that's going to lead to riba. Because that's wrong in the first place. Then you cannot resolve that wrong issue with another wrong act. But if it's sometimes, it's part of the, some companies have that part of their, it's by default. Mm-hmm. Either they take part of your money or they actually contribute their own money, which is the same. They will just say, they add to your account X amount of money so that once you leave, they can give them to you or they put them in a plan or whatever. The money. Now, if the company, if it's not your money, this is important, if it's not your money, the company is doing certain investments on their own. They do it with riba, they do it with the stocks, they do it with whatever. At the end of your work, if they will say there is a lump sum, which is $20,000, this is yours, that's okay. That's not, that is their money. It's their money which they invested in the wrong manner, and they are not Muslims. This is a kufr system. At the end of the day, that's what comes out of their money from their account. It is a payment. That's, they are making a payment to you. That's a different story.
If the owner is a Muslim, make a difference or not?
If it's a Muslim, there is a difference, yes, of course. Because the Muslim cannot invest in riba.
Let's say if they do and they give you money, can you take it or
not? You cannot take it. It's like the one who is selling drugs. Because a Muslim, is haram for him to do that.
If it's a non-Muslim, if they come, my contract or with the company, this company is saying, you get this 20,000 when you retire, whatever, however they earned it, that's beyond my contract with them. So that makes it halal.
Makes it halal as long as you are not the one who contributed to that.
Yeah.
If you contribute to that, then you have to be careful to see how much is part of your contribution. That contribution cannot be more than what you have contributed. If you contributed $10,000, that's all you deserve, $10,000. No more, no less. Unless the increase was invested in an investment which is allowed, which is Islamically allowed. So that becomes a little bit too ugly to. That goes back to the difficulty which I was talking about. This is non-Islamic society, not Islamic economy, all over the world, not only America. In Pakistan, it's not much better. In Egypt or Jordan, it's not much better.
That's why I ask if the business owner is Muslim, then what do you do? Because in Pakistan, it's the same thing. Like if you work for 10 years or 15 years, they give you option either take a pension or take a lump sum amount. But you don't know how the amount come from. Is it from legal investment or is it come from like interest? You don't know.
Most of the time you would know, because you look in the background and what type of investment they had. Some of them they invest in, like I know in some places in Jordan, they go and buy hotels or buy hospitals. And then they actually own money and they own revenue. And some of them they just put them in banks. So that has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis.
But if you know it's like interest, then don't.
If you know it's haram, it's an interest, you will not take it. You will take only whatever was the initial contribution.
If you don't contribute, then don't take anything.
No, their contribution. See, because the way they do it, let's say, they will contribute to your account, let's say, 1,000 rupee a month. For 10 years, that is 120,000 rupees. Plus now whatever comes as an investment. So what's your right, your legal right, if you want to be on the safe side, so assume that everything else, all the types of investments is illegal, you are eligible for the 120,000 rupees, which are the base contribution. Anything else is invalid.
But, practically, you know, you will be getting a check for 140,000.
Yeah, sure.
When you go to the bank, you're not going to tell them, okay, I have 140, just give me the 120 because I'm only eligible for the 120. So from a practical point of view, you cannot just go, you will not have two checks to say, okay, I'll cash this, but that one I will not cash it.
Sure, I understand. You'll put the check in your account, and then you will say my valid ownership is 120, and the rest one is not mine. Now the rest, you either dump them in the garbage or leave them in the account.
So it's different because is this considered like a riba money that you're taking? Because you did not put money in there. So you are not eating riba.
Oh, it's when I said it's a difference between a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Because the Muslim, it's haram for him to do the investment, so he doesn't own it.
Right.
So if he gives it to me, he's giving me a drug money. He's giving me something he doesn't own. Legally, Islamically. So that extra 20,000 rupees is not owned by the state or by the company, and therefore they cannot give it to me. And if they give it to me, I cannot accept it because they don't own it, Islamically, because I'm talking about Islamic ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that whether I contributed or not. So I did not contribute. I know I did not contribute, so there is no haram on me on this issue. But I cannot accept haram money. I cannot accept a haram money. Now that money, haram money means a money that is not owned legally by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the money is not haram or halal. It's right. The ownership of the money. So if someone, if the company now goes and invest in drugs, think of it this way. They invest in drugs and they sell marijuana. And then at the end of the day, they want to give me 30,000 rupees. Out of their marijuana sale, drug sale. That's illegal. Illegal based on the country, current country standards, current capitalism standards, I'm saying. Now, convert that to Islam, Islamic standards, the company invested in riba. So that riba is illegal. So they do not possess, they do not own that riba.
Right.
So to transfer it to me is haram. Now, when they give it to me as a lump sum in a check, that's where the issue. Yeah. That check has two brands of money, one halal and one haram. One is the base money, which is absolute base, that's contribution of the company towards my work, which is halal. And 20,000 is haram. Now, the fact that the check is combined, this is now a transaction becomes of separation. How do I separate the money? How do I separate mine and what belongs to me and what does not belong? So that becomes the issue of separation. If it was cash, then I know what to do with the cash. I split the money and some part of it is not mine. I will give it back to the same company that give it to me, or say I'm not going to take it, which is easy. If it's a check, the only way I can do that is to go to the bank, deposit the check, take 120,000, which is mine, and I will leave the 20,000 there in the account. I will leave it untouched. Now, if you want to be more sure of what you are doing, what you will do, what I would do, so that I don't take benefit, because sometimes if you have more money in your account, that allows you more benefits. Okay, and there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullu qardan jarra naf'an fahu haram." If this loan, because it's a loan, you are giving the bank a loan, and if it provides you with benefit, so you become, your account is more like gold or premium or platinum, whatever, you have a good account now, then what I will do, I will leave that account, I will not touch it, I will not use it, I will open another account only with my money. So that account I will not touch it. I will not even close it. I will not even close it. Let it sit there. Let the bank deal with it. It complicates the matter for them, hick with them. So that's how, in fact, I remember when I worked in Wisconsin back in end of the 80s, when I finished my work, there was in my account, there were some contributions. I wanted to get my money. Now my money, I looked at it, what was what they took from my salary, what the state has, the university added to my account. I calculated all of that. I found what is the difference, which was quite good sum. I let that in the bank. I let it sit. I took my money. I opened another account, and that becomes my account. Now, for many years, they continued to send me letters. Your money is sitting. Close your account. We will close your account. I would not even respond to them. Now, I don't know what has happened to them to that money or to that account. I'm pretty sure it is in a trust somewhere, sitting secure. Because no one has the... there are all types of laws and regulations along these. But that's what I did. I knew how much my money was. I took it, put it in a different account. Actually, I moved to a different bank altogether, so I don't have the same... Just to avoid all complexities. And that money, I don't know what has happened to it. It stayed there. It's gone, Allahu Akbar. I have no idea. It's not mine. I figured out it's not mine. Why should I bother with it?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcast.com.